Bibles tonight to James chapter 1. Thanks, Miss Rachel.
If I didn't mess this up, I think I have this right. Brother Lee, Brother Chad, Brother Allen, Phil, Dallas, Joe, Dylan, Steve, John, Caleb, Nathan, and Andrew. You guys are all under the age of 50, aren't you? Yeah. Did I miss anybody that's under the age of 50 outside of you boys? It's just teenagers. All right. How old are you, Brother Matt? Okay, Matt. So that'd be 13 of you young men, middle-aged men, rolling down the hill, old men. Amen. amen. All right. All right. Well, I wanted to make sure I had that right. Let me read to you a few verses here. Chapter 1, verse 22. Be doers of the word. All right. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Our Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, as I've pondered and thought, I pray, Lord, you'll give me the anointing of God to expound for a little bit upon this scripture. May each one of us be honest and serious as we consider what we hear here tonight. In Jesus I pray, amen. I put about 40 titles on the message, but this is the only one that I actually typed. An uncalled deception. An uncalled for deception. There's no sense to deceive yourself. Sometimes you get deceived by accident. Sometimes people pull one over your eyes. Amen? But this is the worst kind of deception because it's you doing it to yourself. It's uncalled for. It's uncalled for. James, as we have said over and over and over, is the most practical writer in all of the New Testament. Practical Christianity. Taking what you believe and putting it into action. It is really the simplest book to read about the Christian life. These two passages here in verse 22 and the one that begins in verse 26 talks about the reality of what we believe. Do we believe such and such? And second of all, do we practice such and such? So he's talking about belief and behavior. Now you can have a lot of belief, but if you don't have behavior that follows along, we really don't care much about your belief. Amen? And so tonight, with the Lord's help, I just want to give you a few thoughts and then go on and put to practice what we believe. Now, I have said over and over and over that the Sermon on the Mount is the very basis of everything that the New Testament teaches. And I know from time to time people think, well, is that really true? And how does this work and how does that work? Well, it is. If you carefully study the New Testament in light of the Sermon on the Mount, you'll find that everything Jesus said all the apostles, outside of the book of Acts, of course, that's not a doctrinal book, all of the apostles expounded upon that. All of them did. Now, I want to show you one of them in Matthew chapter 7 in this passage. Just so you'll know, I'm not making all this stuff up. In Matthew chapter 7, and I study the Sermon on the Mount. I read it. I've memorized it. I study it. I read the Sermon on the Mount quite often because it's the greatest sermon that's ever been preached. Now, I've heard some great sermons, but I've never heard one like this. Amen? And so if you have your Bibles there, look in Matthew 7 in verse number 24. Jesus, giving this long exposition of Scripture, says this in verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and what? Doeth them." Wonder where James got that at. Amen? Look at verse number 26. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not." So apparently, James must have just thought, if the Lord said it, I ought to say it. Obviously inspired by the Scripture. But you go back to James, and he said, now, if you're only a hearer, then you're building your life on a sinking sand. But if you're a hearer and a doer, you'll be blessed. That's what Jesus said. And that's what James says as well. So let's look at verse 22. There's an exhortation given. The exhortation is about our duty to God and about the warning of deception. There is an obligation to do the word. He exhorts us, "Be ye doers of the word and not just hearers only." Be doing the word of God and not hearing only. Just don't sit in church and hear. Just don't read your Bible. Do what the Bible says. There are many Christians who really believe the word, who honestly believe the Bible, who reverently read the Bible, but they never practice what the Bible says. They never follow through. We know we have to hear first. Amen. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to be instructed. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. So we understand that God teaches us the Scripture as we read it. So I want to ask you, first of all, this simple question. How are you doing on your Bible reading this year? If I was to go through everyone here this morning, or this evening, I started down here at John and went to Chris and Miss Sally, and you had to be honest. Now, I know nobody in here would not be honest, but somebody might slip in that wouldn't be. And you had to be honest. And you had to tell us where you're at in your Bible reading. Have you been reading your Bible? Have you read your Bible today other than at church? Have you studied your Bible today? Have you heard from the Bible today? Second of all, have you heard from God while in church? Now, God has chosen preaching to speak to our hearts. All right? And so has God spoke to you yet today? Say, well, preacher, I was here this morning. I didn't get much out of that one this morning. Okay? Well, hopefully tonight you'll get something. Amen? Has God spoke to you about something? Has God spoke? In fact, I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago. When was the last time, seriously, honestly, that God showed you something out of His Word? When? I was reading the other day, and just to give you an example, I was reading through Jeremiah, and at the last part of Jeremiah, the very last chapter, the last four, five, or six verses, man, there is a great message there. And I did a quick outline, and there's a great message on God's grace. Lord, help me, I'm going to preach that here before long. But I love to read the Bible. And I love to read the Bible In fact, David said, I esteem thy words more necessary than my daily food. So are we hearing God? When was the last time you read? I mean, just got your Bible out with intention, turn the TV off, turn the phone off. I find out when I get ready to read, best thing for me to do at night is lock my door. I guarantee you, somebody's coming to the door. Amen? With the need to talk. I ain't going to tell you who it is. No, just kidding you. Just trying to lighten your mood. But I'm just telling you, when was the last time? Now, usually, now that it gets dark here at 6 o'clock, there ain't a lot you can do outside, so you got plenty of time to read before bedtime. Turn the television off and sit down and read for about 3 hours the Word of God. I was reading about Finney today, and I tried to read some books about preachers and this, and I was reading. Now, Finney said he always read the Bible on his knees. I remember John Gallipolo from India. John Gallipolo told this from the pulpit. He said, I think I have a working knowledge of every verse in the Bible. He said, I have read the Bible for hours and I never open the Bible or read the Bible, but that I don't read it up on my knees. He said, it is a holy book and I am an unholy man. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to be hearers of the Word first, but then we need to be a doer of the Word as well. Once we read it, we get instruction on what to do. Now, he gives us a warning. Don't just read it and say, well, that was good. Now, I don't intend to do it, but that's good. Well, God, you got an A-plus on that part, amen? No, don't deceive yourself. See, if all you do is read, if all I did was read my Bible day after day after day, and I never put to practice what God spoke to my heart about, and listen, you ought to read the Bible until God speaks to your heart. Whether it be 5 verses, 2 verses, or 50 verses, or 50 chapters. Your most important time every day is to hear from God through His Word. And you ought to read. You say, well, preach, I'll never get my Bible read through in a year if I only read 5 verses and God speaks to me. Well, I'm just telling you, you ought to be consistent to read it till He does speak to you. You can always go back and restudy what He spoke to you. Make you some notes. Amen. So we need to. The exhortation is to be a hearer, and not to be a doer, and not just a hearer. Then number two, the examination. He says here in verse 23, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, I think all of us know that a mirror simply reflects what's seen, what's there. Amen? Now you can get a distorted mirror. I'll just put a little plug in for the Bible. You can get a distorted mirror that'll make you look any way you want. They're out there. Amen? Just get the perfect law of liberty. What we have right here, I liked what Brother Fong said, open your Bible, and if anybody next to you doesn't have the King James Bible, just read it to them, amen, or help them look off of your ever how he said, amen. I'm just telling you, now I've been to the fair, and I've seen the fake mirrors that make you look skinny. Boy, them are good ones. And I've seen them that make you look a little bigger than you are, or a little taller than you are, or shorter than you are. They're just all kind, they manipulate the image. But just the purpose of a mirror is simply to reflect what it sees. That's all it does. And the Word of God reflects the real you. When you're reading the Bible, and God's Holy Spirit highlights a passage that you need to work on in your life, He has reflected something that needs to be, first of all, corrected, and second of all, changed, and then lived out. You go to the mirror, and you look in the mirror, and you see yourself as you are of a morning. and you make changes according to what the mirror said. Not according to what you think it said, but according to what it said. Amen? I mean, if you're like me, you have all messed up hair when you get up in the morning. All 27 of them. Some of you not as much as that. But you know, you get up and you splash a little water on your face and kind of clean your eyes out where you can see a little bit and kind of look, and then you start adjusting what you think needs to be changed for that day. Now this is not one way or the other. Typically, now probably not for you guys, and maybe not for a few others in here, but typically guys don't take as long in front of the mirror as girls do. And it is a social peer pressure thing for girls more than it is guys. And that's just the way it is. Not going to get into it. You know, a guy can go, man, he done. Unless you're a primper. Amen? And you have to sing to yourself while you're looking, and you have to, you know, do all that stuff. No. Okay. So there are some guys that do that, but most of us, we go there and we look at the mirror and do a little and brush your teeth and ain't much to do. Thank God us guys don't wear makeup. And all that other stuff y'all put on. Amen? But man, I tell you what, girl goes there and she looks in the mirror and it's like an hour, maybe 40 minutes, maybe 30 minutes for some. But there's time to adjust what she has seen during her perception of her mind, of what she needs to be before she leaves. So we know what a mirror is. Now, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just saying that's the way we are. Now, the mirror of God's Word reflects to us the real us. Remember, it is the perfect law of liberty. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, the Bible tells us. And so the Bible is the perfect law of liberty. So as you look into the Bible, you begin to see things in your life that needs to be changed. Every time I work over at the print shop and print scripture, I don't know how it happens, but I can walk in the door and I get ink. And I have come home thinking I did well that day. And somehow I always get ink up under here. I don't know how. I always get it here. I know how I get it here. But I've had it in my hair. I don't know how that happens. I've had it on my hands. I've had it on my arms. I have it under my fingernails. I have it up my arms. I've had it on my knees before. And I wear pants. And I've had it in my socks. On my leg. And I'm thinking to myself, I should start charging the church for ink. Or at least a distributor, amen? So you know what I have to do? Because I'm not as limber as I used to be, I have to look at the mirror and find out where all this stuff is. Amen? And then I have to scrub. And I never take for granted that I know exactly where it is and I know exactly that I got it off. So I always look at the mirror again and again. Until I am convinced that I got it off. And I use that mirror as the test. There's been times whenever I have assumed I knew I had it off, go out somewhere besides the print shop and find out, oh, I have ink all over me. A spot I never saw. Christians today have a lot of dirty spots on us. And we don't think we can see them, or we don't see them because we don't look into the perfect law of liberty. Warren Wiersbe said there's three mistakes people make when dealing with this passage. And I'm going to give you his three thoughts because I thought they were just as good as mine. And he ought to be blessed by that. Amen. He's probably in heaven thinking, boy, Tim, thank you that you thought yours was, or mine was as good as yours. Number one, Here's three mistakes that most Christians make when they look into the perfect law of liberty into the mirror. Number one, they only glance at themselves. They never study the Bible. What does the Bible say? All of you that are in Awana, you could quote for me 2 Timothy 2:15 that says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You ought to be able to study the Bible. You are commanded, in fact, to study the Bible. You ought to be able to sit down, gentlemen, every day and read the Bible and know what the Bible says. I ought to be able to hand this Bible or bring you up here with your Bible and have every person in this room defend the basic doctrines of the Bible. I mean, I've been saved 36 years. I ought to know them. I've been in church that long. I ought to know them. You see, the problem that we have is many times, well, I got to get my Bible reading in. I'm done. Got my Bible. Check that off, boy, God. But we never glean anything from it. We just get a glance at it. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm real quickly. Psalm 119, and then we'll look at Psalm 139. Psalm 119. You wouldn't even believe this. I am about 10 minutes from being done. Along with 20 others, but 10 minutes. Praise the Lord. Look at your Bible in Psalm 119, verse 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." When God's words gain an entrance into your life, they begin to shed light on the things of your life that represent Christ and the things that don't. The Bible says they that are in the flesh cannot please Christ. The Bible says walk in the Spirit and then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we have to have God's word into us. Then the Bible says over there that famous verse that all of us could quote, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." All right? So there's an importance of getting the word and letting the word look at us. Letting the word reflect what we really are. Then Psalm 139, and the last two verses. Psalm 139. So we need to let the word begin to examine us as we read it. Okay? Now, the Bible says, "Search me," verse 23, 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." God said, "Listen, my thoughts, my ways, my everything about me, God, lead me in the way that I, or search me and see what's in there. And God, whatever is in there, if it's pleasing to you, honor, let it be there. But if not, show it to me." You know, that's what he was saying. God, show me what's in my heart. How are you ever going to know what's Jeremiah say? "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" That next verse says, "I, the Lord, know the heart. I search the reins," or "I try the reins." God knows your heart. And as we begin to read the Bible, as we begin to understand the Bible, as we begin to meditate on the Bible, God begins to conform us, change us, and conform us to the image of His Son. Well, so many of the mistake we made is we just look at it at a glance. The second thing, the mistake that we made, is we forget what we saw. Now go back here in James chapter number 1, and the Bible says, James writes and he says, now listen, well, let me get back there. He says, "If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding himself, his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." That means you look, and because you don't give diligent heed, you forget what God has tried to change your heart about, spoke to your heart about, what God has tried to change in your life. That's why the sermon this morning on forgiveness shocked so many people. Well, I didn't know that was in there. I didn't know God expected that. God don't know my circumstances. God knows your circumstances. And over and over and over, God shows us what we do. So what do we do? Well, we go on and we act out. We hold grudges. We do all this. And we think, boy, God is just as pleased with me. And then we read a verse like that and think. Or them two in 1 John was even worse. Amen? And we wonder, well, where did that come from? I've never seen that before. And I'm not saying you understand everything that you read through the Bible at the first time you read it or the 100th time that you read it. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, like I said, being saved for 36 years, I ought to know some things in the Bible. And I ought to live my life, I ought to practice my life like I know the Bible. But there's people that go and, well, I don't ever remember reading that. Well, I don't ever remember reading that. I don't ever remember the Bible saying that. I don't know. Why? Because they're a forgetful hearer. I've noticed, and I think everybody in here notices this, the older you get, there are some things that you're not as quick to remember. Amen? I have not forgotten where the fridge is. But I have forgotten people's names. I was praying the other day, yesterday afternoon, evening, and I was thanking God for, or maybe it was this morning. Yeah, it was this morning. I was here praying. And I said, Lord, I thank you for all the people that helped yesterday. I went through every one of them and got to Robin, and I couldn't remember her name. And I said, you know that redheaded girl? That one that helped? And I thought, now surely I ought to know her name. And about an hour later, I thought, oh, Robin, that was it. Amen? I ran into a lady that's a member of our church. She came for a while, hasn't been here since then. But them two boys I took out for lunch the other day, we were standing there getting ready to pay. And I saw this girl standing there, and I thought, I think I know her. I think she's a member of our church that don't ever come. And I kept staring at her and staring at her. Finally, it got the best of me. And I said, hey, do I know you? She goes, well, I was kind of looking at you thinking I knew you. I said, what's your name? I said, is your name last name Smith? She goes, yep. And I said, I can't remember your first name. She goes, Naomi. I said, that was it. I said, I knew who you were. And she goes, who are you? I said, I'm the preacher out of Sweet Spring. She goes, I thought that's who you were. I said, and then I remember her son, had her son in your class, I believe, Zach. And I said, how's Zach doing? I remember her mom. But you know, sometimes, and I don't know, you know, why that is, but maybe you just get so much, that's it. You just get so much wisdom up there, don't have time to get it all out. That's it. Ah, that must have been a revelation, amen. Or else you're just too ignorant to remember it. I'm not sure. And so we forget things. You know, I forget things sometimes. I make lists now, or try to make me some notes, because if I don't, I'll go all the way to town for get everything except what I went for. Oh, come on, go around back, amen. Or go turn around, go back. Well, you just forget, so you got to make me a list. Check it off. You know, I'm just like Santa Claus. Making my list and checking it twice, amen. And I'm just telling you, if we're not careful, so I have to make notes in my Bible. Now, if you don't like making notes in your Bible, that's fine. I have notes in books, and I have things underlined. When something speaks to me, I underline. Why? Because I don't want to forget it. Because I am especially when it comes to spiritual things, I can be a very forgetful hearer. Third thing he says is the mistake they make is they fail to obey. They just don't do the Word of God. And I think that's true, amen? Well, look back there. Well, I'm the only one not there. Go back to James and look at the last verse, verse 25. And this is the conclusion. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Not of the word, but of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. So there's two things he tells you to do first. Look. Blessed, the man that looks. That word look means to peer off into, to sit and study. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I was blessed by Brother Fong. Brother Fong, he's very, very intelligent. Has a very good memory. And I hate to say this the way it's going to say it, but this only way to say it. I envy guys that can just whip out Scripture left and right. Amen? Now, I try to memorize a lot of Scripture. Problem is, I have a hard time getting it. I don't have a hard time getting it in there. I have a hard time getting it out. And so he was just rattling off Scripture and this, that, and the other. But you know, all of us in this room need to look into the perfect law of liberty. You young men that I have on my list here, you especially need to make sure you are a studier of the Scriptures. Your life needs a dedicated time to study the Bible. Everybody that's older than 49 needs to be a student of the Scripture every day. Especially if you're retired, you have nothing to do but study the Word of God. Who was I talking to yesterday that said they was retired? Who was down there that said they were? Somebody. One day this week, I was talking to somebody that was retired. Oh, I was over at the radio station. And this guy said he's retired. He said, Brother Tim, he said, it's the worst thing I ever did. He said, I never get a day off. I never get a holiday. He said, I never get a vacation day. He said, it's just the same thing every day and every day. I don't know if that's true or not. No, he was just making light of it. We need to look. We need to study. Listen, you need to set aside a time to look in the Bible. And listen, now if you need help looking into the Bible, there is enough stuff online that is free. There's enough stuff that is available to buy in books to help you look into the perfect law of liberty. Let me say, there is no excuse in our day and age for God's men and God's women not to be knowledgeable in the Scripture. Zero excuse for that. Except for we just don't want to. He said, not only look into the law, but then you continue. Keep doing what you know is to be done. Just keep going and going and going and going and going and going and going. Better than an energized battery. Just keep going and going and going and going and going and going and going. That's what he said. That's that word continue. Just keep right on going. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continuing therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of that evil word work. God does not want you to be a doer, but a doer of the work. What's work? Whatever he tells you to do. I wrote down some things. Witness. God commands us to witness. Be a doer of the witnessing. That's the work. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I have really enjoyed forgiving is a work. Giving is a work. Loving is a work. Restoring those that have fallen away is a work. Over and over. In fact, somebody has recorded there are 49 commands of Christ written in the Gospels. The Christian life is a continuous work that has to be pressing on and pressing on and pressing on day after day after day after day after day after day. Two times in the book of James, God uses the word blessed. One is found in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. The second time is here, blessed, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, what that means is if you want God to bless you, you hear and then you start doing. Yep. That's what that means. You hear and you start doing. You say, well, I can't do it like you do it. Don't have to do it like I do it. You just got to do it. That's all you got to do. I've been blessed for over a year now witnessing to these truckers going up And I've told you I've gone all over the world. I've gone all over the world. And It is an untapped mission field. I carried John and Romans. We went and Miss Yvette and I went to Macon yesterday for a little bit. And we had to stop and get gas, which is typical if I drive her car. And as I was filling up the tank, I thought, well, I saw about 7 or 8 trucks over there. Saw 3 or 4 guys. I thought, boy, this is going to be good. Amen. I thought I had John and Romans in there just in case I switched vehicles. No John and Romans. No tracks on me. So didn't get to stop. But I'm telling you what, there is an opportunity that God gives us to do His work. So here's what you ought to pray. God, help me to hear, but God, help me to do. And then when He brings something in for your life to do, do it. Now let me read you this, the way a guy expounded it, and I wrote it down. I thought it was really well, all right? This isn't taking anything from the Scripture. This is his explanation of what it would say if we would say it today. Moreover, keep on becoming doers of the word and stop being hearers only, reasoning yourselves into a false premise and thus deceiving yourselves. Because if, as in this case, anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, this one is like a man attentively considering in a mirror the face with which he was born. For he took one look at himself and was off, and immediately forgot what sort of person he was. But he, who with eagerness and concentration has pored over the perfect law, the law of liberty, and has continued in it, not having been a hearer who forgets, but a doer who works, this person shall be prospered spiritually in his doing. I thought that was as good an explanation of the Scripture as any. Amen? I want to ask you a question. Are you a hearer? Are you a doer? Father, thank you for the day. Bless now in this invitation time. And I pray that each one of us would examine our hearts seriously, carefully under the microscope of your word. And Father, we would do that which is most pleasing in your sight. Father, I pray today, help me if I'm not a doer of the work, but only a hearer. Help me, Lord, to be faithful. Help me to lead the church to be faithful. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Miss Rosemarie's playing the hymn of invitation. Maybe today you need to come down and say, God, I've been listening, but I haven't been doing a lot. Well, now'd be a good time while I preach this just to get down here and commit yourself to doing whatever it is God wants you to do.